And then he says, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Boy, I tell you what, Jeremiah was honest. He said, you can look me over. You can search me. You can try me. Look at my heart. Look what I am. He wasn't afraid to put himself in the eyes of God and recognize God would try him and search him, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. It's a great honor to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. We certainly have enjoyed the meeting and being with everybody and fellowshipping and just enjoy what God has for us. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah tonight, Jeremiah chapter number 12. I thought I would be preaching in the book of Acts about the Apostle Paul, but the Lord had me preaching about Jeremiah. Amen. Jeremiah, really, if you read the book of Jeremiah and compared it to today's newspaper, it'd be about exactly the same anyway. And so it's well up to date, and I thank the Lord for what he gives us in the Word of God. It's certainly been a blessing to be in these nights, and of course Sunday morning also has been a blessing to be in the meeting and to be allowed to come and fellowship and to be able to preach the Word of God. I thank you for so sweet a response and appreciating the Word of God, and I thank you for your pastor inviting us to come and you appreciating him letting me come. Amen. So all that's been a blessing, and I pray it has a blessing that will stay with us after the meeting, stay with you after the meeting, and God will use it for his glory. Jeremiah has a lot of things that we can compare to our own lives today. Jeremiah got saved or got started for God at a young age. The Lord formed him in his mother's womb, actually formed you and I too, amen. But Jeremiah started early in life. Jeremiah was dropped into a nation that had turned its back on God. A king and a half behind, the nation had been brought into its most wicked condition it's ever been in. And then Josiah comes along, and Josiah seems to be bringing a revival. And it seems to be that there's better days. It looks like it's going to get better, and things are going to perk up. But God had already told Jeremiah it wasn't going to get better. And God had already told Jeremiah that the people was not going to hear him. But Jeremiah is seeing this move of God, seemingly, and it was a move of God. God always loves to get people right with him, amen. And Josiah is actually restoring the people of God that were real to have that fellowship with the king and also the people of God together. So Josiah loves the Lord. And we do not know. I've read Josiah's life and at times broke down and cried and said, Josiah, why did you do what you've done? I couldn't understand. A battle was out of Josiah's range. It should not have been in his interest. He should not have been involved in it at all. And God really warned him not to get involved in it. And Josiah went there and got killed. And the Bible says that Jeremiah laments. He weeps. He couldn't understand. His king that had a heart for God has died, and there's no godly king to take his place. And Jeremiah sees the nation go right back into ungodliness and wickedness, and he sees the oppression come upon the people of God. It'd be hard to get the exact number of years. It's possibly at least 5 years that Jeremiah preached under Josiah, and it could have been 7 years. It's kind of hard to get the exact number of years, but I would think it would be at least 5 years that the Word of God has come to Jeremiah, and he's enjoying this period of time. Could have been 4 years, amen. I just throw that in for what it's worth, but but Josiah is an encouragement to Jeremiah. It's an encouragement when things get better to the man of God and the people of God.
Sure.
It's an encouragement when there's someone standing up in your part and in your place for the saints of God and wanting to do right And he is encouraging people to be involved in the worship of God. And Jeremiah's encouraging all this. But remember, God has already told Jeremiah that the people are not going to listen to Jeremiah, and God's judgment is coming. So when Jeremiah approaches God in this chapter, chapter number 12 of the book of Jeremiah, he approaches God almost as if he doesn't remember the things God had already told him. Amen. And so we're starting in verse number 1. Now let me say this. This COVID situation, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything affect the people of God like it.
That's right.
I've never seen anything compared to it. Most of us, we may know a person or two that's died from the COVID. If it is, it's probably someone who is very sick or at least had some real poor health conditions prior to getting to COVID. But all of us know a lot of people's died from cancer. All of us know a lot of people's died from cardiovascular disease. All of us knows a lot of people that have suffered a stroke and has had to suffer the consequences of it. But somehow this has been multiplied and magnified in our minds till it's just about robbed people of their faith. You see, that seems to be what's happened to Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah begins to address God concerning these things. He says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord." You know, you better never forget God is righteous. And then he said, "When I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." He said, I want to talk to you about what you're doing, your judgments. I want to talk to you about how you're judging things. Why is Nancy Pelosi allowed to live? Why is Mr. Schumer allowed, why don't he have a stroke? And at least, you know, stop him from being able to talk, you know. How can the king that we have now be replacing Josiah? How can that be? How could you let Josiah die and replace him with this ungodly king? How could you do that? How can that be possible? Your judgments. I don't understand your judgments. Well, he ain't the first person that ever understood. Job said he couldn't understand. He said, he said, I watched their calves be born and their cows never miscarry. I watch them always, you know, their sheep do well, everything goes well. I watch all that. He said, but I still know God. He's still right. Amen.
Amen.
It didn't mess up Job's understanding of God. He said, I can't answer that. I can't explain it, but God's still God. The psalmist and Asaph in Psalm 73, he didn't understand it. He said, I'm chastened every morning. I can't get away with nothing. Thank God you can't. He said, but look, he said, they get away with everything. Well, really, they don't. You see, he was thinking they did until he went into the house of the Lord, and God showed him their end. And then he said, oh, I was dumb. I was like a beast. I wasn't thinking right. And he said, all the time, I didn't realize that God was holding me by my right hand. He was lifting me up. And I would have been ashamed, he said, to even tell the congregation what I was thinking. He said, I would have been ashamed of even let the children of God know what was going on in my mind. Have you ever been there? So he says, I want to talk to you, Lord. I want to talk to you. I know you're righteous. I know you've listened to me before, and I want to just have a little conversation about this stuff. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Why you let the wicked prosper? I don't see why you do that. You ever thought that way? He said, wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? Now, Jeremiah is making an assumption. Jeremiah is assuming they're happy. They're not really happy. When you read the history of numerous famous people, you'll find out they weren't happy. Elvis wasn't happy. He had to have drugs, large amounts of drugs, just to function from one day to the next. He become appalled by the crowd, not attracted by the crowd. Marilyn Monroe, she wasn't happy. Oh, she was famous back in, some of y'all don't even know who she was, but back in the days of some of us, but she wasn't happy. She wrote numerous letters about her misery, about her being used and unhappy. It'd be astounding to some people to know who all wasn't happy. Mother Teresa wasn't happy. Mother Teresa wrote for 50 years, she was miserable. That all of her smile in public was a fake. She said, I can't find Jesus, I can't feel Jesus, I can't sense Jesus. I do not know where he is. She said, I really doubt there's a heaven and there's a God. She said, I'm miserable. So don't look around all the time and think, I guarantee you Nancy Pelosi ain't happy, amen? I can see that she ain't happy. But Jeremiah was like us. He, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, hey, you look up. There are several people that's been writing out her letters. She wrote the Pope, and she said, I'm not ready to meet God. He wrote her back and said, you have to be ready to meet God. There's nobody done as much good as you have. She said, I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not ready. I'm not prepared to meet God. We said in her doctors, a doctor that traveled with her for several years, we sat in his office in California, and he said she cussed like a sailor. He said, I never knew a woman could cuss like Mother Teresa. Isn't that something? You see, we're fooled a lot of time by what we see.
Yep.
We're deceived a lot of times just by our own eyesight and not knowing all the situation. Chico and the man, Chico wasn't happy. Amen. All those singers that you watch and everything, you know, I hope you don't watch, but people watch, they're not happy. They're not happy. Many of them live on drugs and alcohol just to survive another day. Michael Jackson, he wasn't happy. Oh, he might have been able to spin around and turn flip-flops and sing and get records made and make a lot of money, but he was a miserable human being. And the people we're talking about, they busted hell wide open. Unless they got saved right at the end of their life. Are you listening? So Jeremiah assumed, he looked at the situation and he's like us. He said, why do you let these people prosper? And why are they happy? They seem to be happy. They seem to be having a good time. And then he said, thou hast planted them. You put them there. God did not plant them. He lets everyone, hey, we're not Calvinist. Amen. We're not Calvinists. We believe the word of God. We believe whosoever will can be saved. We believe the Lord Jesus tasted death for every man. We believe the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, and that would be anybody, amen. So we don't believe God said, I'm going to let this person do this and this person do that. We don't believe that's the way it is. We believe people make choices. We believe Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. We believe men choose and make choices day after day after day. He says, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow. He understood that from the death of Josiah, look what's going on. Our nation is crumbling. It's falling apart. Things are going haywire. We can't figure it out. And Jeremiah, the man of God, has watched this prosperity for a short period of time, at least 4 years, amen, under Josiah. And now he can't understand what's happening. He has lamented and wept over Josiah. He can't understand why has Josiah died. I've done the same thing, and I didn't even know Josiah, but I've read right down to there. Why are you going down there to fight? He tells you you're not to be there. He tells you he don't want to fight with you. He tells you God is sending him on a mission, and you're not to be involved in it. Why are you going down there for, Josiah? I don't understand you. He goes down there and gets killed. There's a lot of folks have said concerning our president, I don't understand why he says some of the things he does. He hurts himself. Amen. Some have said Josiah's pride got him into trouble. That's possible. Amen. Matter of fact, he was warned, don't let your pride get you into trouble. Come down here and fight with me. You got no business down here. Amen. God's got laws, as I said the other night. You throw that cup and it'll go to the ground. You jump off this building, you're going to the ground. I don't care if you weigh 10 pounds or 10,000 pounds, you're going to the ground. Because God's got some laws set. And they work. God can reverse laws, but he seldom ever does. He can roll the sun back. He can make the day longer. He can do any of those things he wants to do. He can make the day yesterday and yesterday next week. He can do anything he wants to do. But he has some laws in place about life. So Jeremiah said, you know, look what they're doing. He said, they bring forth fruit. Yay, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouths and far from their reins. They're religious. They're hypocrites. They're not really real. Oh, that bunch up in Washington, every one of them will tell you they love God. They vote for abortion, supports paying for it out of your tax money. They're the whiskey, beer-drinkingest bunch ever lived on earth, amen? Look at the vote yesterday in Washington, D.C. Did you see the percentage of the vote in Washington, D.C.? 98%, I believe it was, voted against Trump. Why? It's a wicked bunch of devils. Amen. We're in a wicked land. Things are going awry and astray from what we think it ought to be. And he says, those who say they serve you, they're hypocrites. They say in their mouth, but their heart is far from you. They're not serving you. They're not living for you. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Look at me, Lord. I'm not drinking liquor and wine and beer and cussing and aborting babies. And look at all the Christians. They're not doing that, Lord. But look at all these. Look what you're letting happen. Are you listening? You see, God had already told Jeremiah some things, and God has already told us some things also, amen. And then he says, but thou, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me, and tried mine heart toward thee. Boy, I tell you what, Jeremiah was honest. He said, you can look me over. You can search me, you can try me. Look at my heart. Look what I am. He wasn't afraid to put himself in the eyes of God and recognize God would try him and search him, amen, and had searched him and tried him. He says, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. He said, Lord, I'd like you to kill every one of them hypocrites. Amen. That's what he said. He said, kill all of them. Slaughter every one of them. He sounds like some of us while we're preaching, amen. I know this is, it is comical because it's the truth. It's comical because it's real. You know, it's like you see somebody's feet fly out from under them, they hit in the mud, and the mud flies everywhere, and you're not glad they got muddy, but the reality is they're muddy. You're not glad that their clothes off, but the reality, they are. They covered up with mud. Amen. It's just the way it is. You didn't wish that on them. You didn't want that to happen. But it happened. And so now it's funny. Amen. Even them that gets out of the mud, they ain't laughing at first, but in a few minutes, they're going to laugh too. Amen. It's just, we know things that are real are funny. Amen. So Jeremiah's looking the whole circumstances over. He said, I wish you'd kill every one of them. That's what Paul said about the Galatian church. He wished it all cut off that was troubling the church of Galatia. He wished that the Lord just kill them, get rid of them. They're bothering the people of God. They was bringing in Judaism and false doctrine. And so Paul's mind was, I wish that's even cut off. I wish that's taken away. I wish that's gone. I thought that a few times about some of my folk. Amen. Amen. We're talking about human life and how it is. We're talking about our own circumstances and how we are today. But you see, Jeremiah forgot some things. He forgot that God had told him, Jeremiah, the people of God have forsaken the fountain of living water. They've hewed them out cisterns that hold no water. They've hewed them out this dry place that's waterless and took it in place of a fountain of living water, me, the fountain of living water. He said, Jeremiah, the people of God don't even blush anymore when they sin. They don't even blush. When they've committed abomination, do they blush? They're not embarrassed. They're not even ashamed. He forgot some of the things God told him just a year or two back. God had told him that his judgment was real. And God had told him, if my people, just like it had been said in 2 Chronicles, he said, if my people, he made them several offers. He said, I tell you what, God said, if you'll just get right about the Sabbath day, I will spare you. They would have done it. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, if you'll just get right about the 50th year, and everybody will give back the land that they've taken. Everybody will give back to the people their freedom. They've taken them as servants and slaves. Everybody will do that. He said, I'll spare you. They did it for a couple of months and went and got them all back. I mean, God made them a number of offers. God made them a number of offers, and they all backed up on what God, they wouldn't do what God said. But Jeremiah now is looking to the circumstances, and he's gathering himself over to the side like we do sometimes, us independent Baptists, and we gather ourselves over to the side and say, look, just wipe all that bunch out. Let us have it. I don't know what we'd do with it, amen, we had it. So he's thinking like we think sometimes. He says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? He's putting all the blame now on the unsaved. He said, it's all the wicked. It's the wicked that's caused us. That's why California's on fire. That's why Colorado's burning down. It's the wicked. That's why the floods are taken away. That's why the hurricanes come up through the Gulf. It's because of all the wicked. No, he forgot. God said this judgment is coming because of the people of God. You see, God has already told Jeremiah about the people of God and his people and my people and described them just like God said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, God will do something. He told him, he said, if you'll seek the old paths, he said, we're not going to do that. Look back in Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse number 16. He dealt with the issue of their sin and their lack of shame and their no blushing. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 6, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You see, it was the people of God that God was dealing with, not all the ungodly. It just happened to be that the ungodly were gaining position because the people of God weren't doing what they're supposed to do. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Jeremiah's already said in chapter 8, I'm black with astonishment. I can't understand. The harvest had ended, summer's ended, harvest passed, and you're not saved. And he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Why aren't you getting right with God? Jeremiah has forgot they turned God down time and time again. Jeremiah is now looking at the terribleness of the conditions that it has brought in upon his nation, and now he's looking at it through another set of glasses, and he's thinking, I tell you what God needs to do is kill all this bunch of hypocrites and this wicked bunch, amen. But no, that's not what God says he's going to do.